individually and collectively. Lord, I just thank you for your presence here today. And I pray, dear God, that your word, dear Father, will fill this place. Amen.
Amen.
Right, so I've given this little speech a title, and I've called it Remember, Remember the God That We Serve. And we're going to be focusing on Exodus chapter 14. And that's when the Israelites came out of Egypt. But before we get to Exodus 14, I'll give you some time to find it in your Bibles, etc. I'm going to just give you a little bit of a background to this. So as we know, the Israelites were slaves in Egypt, and they were under Pharaoh's leadership. And God sent Moses to Pharaoh to tell him to let my people go. Pharaoh hardened his heart against God, and he did not listen. So in essence, Pharaoh said no. And we know that God then sent some plagues, different plagues on Egypt. And in doing that, what God was doing was he was showing the people of Egypt his power and his might. He was beginning to reveal himself, revealing the God that he is to the people of Egypt and also to the Israelites, actually. He was showing them, or beginning to demonstrate, that he was more powerful than any of the Egyptian gods that they served. And with each plague, Pharaoh continued to say no. But that last plague was when God sent the death angel to kill every firstborn of every family and animal. And that last plague really hit home. It says that there was loud crying and wailing in Egypt, and every single home, every single Egyptian home was impacted by this plague. There was death all over Egypt. So Pharaoh summons Moses and he orders them to leave. And that day, approximately 600,000, it said, Israelites left Egypt under Moses' leadership. So they've gone from being under Pharaoh's leadership, they're not under Moses' leadership, and Moses under God's leadership. And God led them through the desert towards the Red Sea, and he provided a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. He was constantly with them by day and by night. What does that say to us? So what I've done is I've punctuated the bits of reflection as we go along. So we may well end up with quite a lot of questions for you to think of. And the first one for me is, are we even aware of God's presence as we journey on through life? Do we look for the signs that God is with us? Do we recognize them? Do we acknowledge them, or are we so busy that we don't see them? God demonstrates to us daily that he is with us, and we get those reassurances whether through his words or sometimes through events that happen in our life. But we have to see them, and we have to know them for what they are. So my first point of reflection is, we need to be consulting with God every day and looking for his presence with us, whether that is through reading the Bible or whether that is through events in our life. We need to notice and recognize God's presence with us. So now we come to Exodus chapter 14. Verses 1 to 4 is where the Lord says to Moses, tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp near Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea. They are to encamp by the sea directly opposite Baal-Zephon. Pharaoh will think the Israelites are wandering around the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert. And God is saying, I will harden Pharaoh's heart and he will pursue them. But I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord." And that verse ends, "So the Israelites did this." Here, God is telling Moses to lead his people towards the Red Sea. God is telling Moses that he is going to make Pharaoh's heart stubborn. And as a result, Pharaoh is going to chase after the Israelites. Now, it's interesting because earlier, Pharaoh hardened his heart against God. Now, God is hardening Pharaoh's heart. So at some point, Pharaoh was in control. Now God is in control. What I wanted to point out here, though, is the relationship between God and Moses. You realize that God and Moses are in constant conversation throughout. And you'll see it as we continue through this chapter. Moses is in constant communication with God. And Moses is listening, and as he listens, he is telling the people what God has said, and then the Israelites are doing what God has said. Moses has a relationship with God. So the reflection bit for this. As God speaks to us, are we listening? God continues to give Moses constant instructions throughout the whole of this chapter. And as I said, they are in relationship. They are in tandem. Are we hearing God, and are we in tandem with him? Are we following his instructions? Or is he saying things to us that we don't necessarily want to hear, and so are we hardening our hearts? We have to be making a conscious decision to follow God's instructions. But we can only follow God's instructions if we're listening and hearing what he's saying to us. And in order to do that, we have to be creating space to be able to hear what he's saying to us. Sometimes we become very busy and we fill our spaces. For some of us, we don't particularly like silence. Silence gets uncomfortable. There needs to be always something. You know, that thing where the television is on, the background noise. Because if the background noise isn't there, there's a discomfort that comes with that. But we need to be ensuring that in order for us to hear God, we're creating the space for that. And that sometimes means that we've got to get rid of some of the busyness. We're a very fortunate church. We're actually quite a high percentage of our church is in employment, although we're small in numbers. But it does mean that we can become very busy, very, very busy. And therefore, we're not creating the space to hear what God is saying to us. And I say that with guilt in my heart, because I know that I'm very guilty of that. But the other thing I wanted to point out here is, you know, I mentioned about Pharaoh hardening his heart, but not God's hardening Pharaoh's heart. And the other question I pondered as I read this was, is our constant resistance to listening to God leading us to a place where he is hardening our hearts so that it is no longer about us, but only about him? I'm going to ask that question again. Is our constant resistance to listening to God leading us to a place where he hardens our heart so that it is no longer about us, but only about him? Sometimes we continue to not listen. God puts us in a place where we have no choice but to listen. So we're going to go on a little bit. To verse 5. Pharaoh changes his mind. Pharaoh all of a sudden realizes that, oh my, what have I done? And I've let all our slaves go. How are we going to function? We no longer have the services of the Israelites. So he had his chariot made ready, and he took his army with him, and they're going to pursue the Israelites. So as Pharaoh's army approaches the Israelites are now trapped between the sea, the desert, and the army. And they're not quite sure what to do. So they start to blame Moses. In verses 11 and 12, they said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us here to the desert to die? What have you done to us, bringing us out of Egypt? Did we not say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." So they found themselves in a sort of tricky situation. They're in this circumstance that they have absolutely no control over. They can see the sea, there's no way. The desert, the big desert there, and here is the army. What are we supposed to be doing here? So the reflection for us here is, do we sometimes feel trapped in our situations? The situations entrap us. And I'm sure we've all been there, and for some of us, we are all there. You're just in a situation where you cannot see a way out. You look to the left, you look to the right, you look to the front, you look to the back, and in your own human strength and understanding, there is no way out. You're facing an impossible situation. And sometimes when we do reach that point, we look for something or someone to blame. So sometimes we blame ourselves, actually, or we blame others, or we blame the circumstance, or sometimes we blame God. Why on earth are we here? But as is seen right here in this chapter, at times when we're in those particular situations where we cannot, with our human mind, see a way forward, is when God reveals his power. And actually, in a lot of situations, that's when God works, because it is no longer about us. That is the point where we realize that we are not in control, there is nothing we can do, and we have to let God. So the Israelites are afraid, and they're definitely out of options. They blame Moses. And interestingly, it is at this point that God reveals his power to them. So in verses 13 to 14, after they blamed Moses, Moses answered the people and he says, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance of the Lord. You will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only be still." Big words, actually, when you're in a position where you can't see a way forward. You're saying, Moses is saying to them, do not be afraid. Isn't fear the first thing that comes when we're in these situations? But he's saying to them, do not be afraid. And then he's saying to them, stand firm. You will see the deliverance of the Lord today. These Egyptians that you see today, you will never see again. This circumstance that you see today, you won't see it again. Because the Lord will fight for you. You need only be still. And the first question I asked myself when I read that was, how do you possibly stand still in such a situation? How do you possibly stand still? And the only way that you can do that is that if you truly believe that the Lord will fight for you. If you truly believe that the Lord will fight for you, you can stand still. This is where we need to be still. We can't hear from what the Lord is saying if we're busy. We can't hear what the Lord is saying if we're consumed with being fearful. We can't hear what the Lord is saying if we're occupied with trying to solve the situation ourselves. We need to be still. And in the next couple of verses, actually, the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on." So this tells us that at this point, although Moses has said to them, you know, the Lord will fight for you, he is still in conversation with the Lord. He is still talking to the Lord. He's still crying out on behalf of the people. And the Lord is saying, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on." And then he gives Moses instructions. He tells him to raise your staff, stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. "I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, so they will go in after them, and I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots and his horsemen." What God is saying to Moses here, okay, time to stop asking, time to stop praying. It's time to move into action. Now, we all know that prayer is vital. Prayer is where we're communicating with God, and in stillness we're hearing from him, etc. But there comes a point when God expects us to move. This is not anymore about asking or praying or crying out. He's saying, "I'm telling my people to move." When we hear from God when we get instructions from God and we know what he is asking us to do, when God has spoken, he expects us to move. Is God telling us now that it's the time to get moving? Because it is in us moving that God reveals his plan and his amazing power. If Moses and the people of Israel did not follow God's instruction, I'm sure that God could have done everything that he needed to do without the people of Israel or Moses lifting a finger. But God wants to move through his people. And so he calls us to action and he tells us it is time to move. And it is in you moving that I will be able to reveal my plan and show my amazing power. Now you remember when I was doing the background read, I said that God led the people of Israel by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. In verses 19 to 20 of this chapter, things changed a bit. It says the angel of God and the pillar of cloud that had been traveling ahead of the Israelites went behind them and it placed itself between them and the Egyptians, so that there was darkness to the side of the Egyptians and light to the side of the Israelites. And neither went near each other all night. God positioned himself. He positioned for protection and for success. You'd realize that he didn't ask the Israelites to position themselves. That position was not left to the people. God's protection and ultimate success and victory of this did not lay with the people. It lay with God. So he positioned them for protection and for success. And in verse 21 and 22, Moses did what God asked him to do. He stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground, with a wall of water on their right and on their left. Now, for someone like me, I read that and it terrifies me, because I just keep thinking, I'm going to be that person walking through it thinking, oh my goodness, that water's going to come over, it's going to come over. But the Israelites followed God's instruction. There's a passage in the Bible, Jeremiah chapter 29:11, that we all love as a church, actually, that we keep coming back to. It talks about God's plans to prosper us, not to harm us, to give us hope and the future. When there is no apparent way of escape, God opens up a dry path through the sea. He will always position us for success. That's his promise to us, and his promises are true. And he will always ensure we have the protection and the resources that we need for success. So we do not need to worry. All we need to do is to follow his instructions. Now in verse 23, Pharaoh's army also enters, because God has hardened their hearts now, and he has said that they're going to pursue. So they did. The Egyptians pursued them in verse 23. And all of Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the sea. And during the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire and cloud at the Egyptian army and threw them into confusion. This is God revealing his power and his might. He jammed the wheels of their chariots so that they had difficulty driving. And the Egyptians said, let's get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt. They have acknowledged God's power. The Lord is fighting for them. When we follow God's instructions and we do what he asks us to do, when we allow the Lord to fight the battle rather than us fighting or striving to fight it on our own, even the world outside will acknowledge that the Lord is fighting the battle. But in order for that to happen, we have to do our part, and we have to trust God for that. 2 Chronicles 20:15 says, "Thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, or do not be afraid or dismayed because of the circumstance that you found yourself in or the situation that you're in. For the battle is not yours, it is God's." So we're going to get to the grand finale. No, and in verse 26, the Lord says to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and their horsemen." So Moses stretched out his hands over the sea, and at daybreak, the sea went back to its place. The Egyptians were fleeing towards it, and the Lord swept them into the sea. The water flowed back and covered the chariots and horsemen, and the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea. None of them survived. But the Israelites, God's people, they went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. That day, the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians. And Israel saw that the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant. So a final reflection for this morning, or afternoon now, is about victory Here we see that God is bigger and more powerful than any situation that we can find ourselves in. And he will defeat the enemy, whatever that enemy is, whether that enemy is a circumstance, a situation, he will be victorious. But throughout the whole of this chapter, over and over again, we have been drawn back to the importance of our relationship with God. We have been drawn back to the importance of our communication with God. We need to be listening and we need to be moving as per his instructions. We need to put our trust in him because the battle is his, not ours. I'm going to end with a verse, actually, that Haley used when she preached a couple of weeks ago, because I think it sums up all of this quite well. It's Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 6. And it simply says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths."